Good morning, everybody. And I am hoping and trusting and praying that the first week of 2018 was good to you. I'm ready for the snow to be gone. I am waiting for warm weather. Yes, I am done. I have it for Christmas and then done. I am continuing my messages in Proverbs, and we are on part 14 already. And a proverb, the word in the Hebrew is mashal, and it means sentences of ethical wisdom. Proverbs 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, and doing what is right and just and fair." These are words that were given to the Israelites by God through the authors on how they should live their lives. And as we go through, I know some of you are saying, "Well, you know, Jim, when are you going to get off this Proverbs thing? I mean, we've been on it for 14 weeks now, and, you know, it's time to move on to something else." There is so many sermons wrapped up in just Proverbs, and that's why we're going through them. Each week is something different. Each week is something different that we can glean and take for our own lives and apply them. How many were here for Pastor Henry's message last week? One more year. If you were not here, I would encourage you to go on our website, newhopechristiancenter.com, and go into the archives and listen to that message. I sent out a pastoral letter, just kind of contemplating and commenting on how it affected me and what I want to do in 2018. And it was a challenge to me. You know, when he was talking about the fig tree that was growing in the middle of the vineyard. And I want to be used by God. I want there to be fruit in my life. And I want to abide in him even more in 2018 than I did in 2017. I trust and I know that every single year we should be growing in our faith. We should be growing in our relationship with God. You should look back a year ago in 2017, January, and you should have made progress in your walk with the Lord. And if there's not that progress, you've plateaued. And I love the imagery of, I don't know if any of you have ever gone on an escalator the wrong way. I can see on your faces who has done that. And you kind of start walking, and as long as you're walking, you're kind of just staying in one spot. And then if you speed it up a little bit, you work a little bit harder, you begin to gain, and you actually begin to go up. But if you stop, what happens? You go down. So if you've reached a plateau in your spiritual walk with the Lord, you're either going forward or you're going backwards. There is no, "Oh, I'm just going to sit here in neutral and stay in the same place." It doesn't work like that. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ every single day. And that's why we meet here on Sundays, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. And these proverbs help us and instruct us on how we can do that. And it's interesting because everything in Proverbs, everything that is listed, it's represented in our daily lives each and every day. I don't believe there's anything in Proverbs that does not handle something that we go through in our lives. I believe there's instruction for every single situation and how we are to act and do what is right according to the scriptures. Amen? So Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 to 19 is where we are studying. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And the one we're going to look at today is a heart that devises wicked schemes. And I'm going to Psalm chapter 141, verses 1 through 5. And it says, "A psalm of David. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers." Now, there's a lot in that verse, or those verses of scripture right there. So I want to kind of break it down. And I want to start with verse 2 that says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." Now, the last time I spoke, I did speak on prayer. And if you weren't here to hear Randy's message on prayer, I would encourage you to go onto our website and listen to that as well. But it says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." And if you don't understand the articles in the Old Testament that God gave to man or required of Moses, the Levites, the priests, in the tent of meeting and later on in the temple, then incense really doesn't mean a whole lot to us. I know there's some people have those incense things that they burn for smell or whatever, and some of them are supposed to help with headaches, and other things are supposed to help with this or that. Oh, this smell is going to help you with skin irritations or whatever. But we really don't understand incense like the Bible describes it. And so we're going to go into Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 through 38. This is God speaking to Moses after the tent of meeting had been built. And he is describing one of the articles that is supposed to be in that section of the tent of meeting. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, take fragrant spices, gum resin, onycha, and galbanum, and pure frankincense, all in equal amounts, and make a fragrant blend of incense, the work of a perfumer. It is to be salted and pure and sacred. Grind some of it to powder and place it in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law in the tent of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. Do not make any incense with this formula for yourselves. Consider it holy to the Lord. And whoever makes incense like it to enjoy its fragrance must be cut off from their people." God took this incense very seriously, did he not? He says, "I want you to take equal parts of these four things, mix them together, grind some of it into a powder, and place it at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant, which is where the law was kept." And when Moses went in to meet with God in the tent of meeting, he went to that place in front of the Ark of the Covenant, and God says, "This is where I will meet with you. And you take some of this, grind it up into a powder, and you present it before me. And don't you dare take any of this for yourself. And don't let anybody else have any of this for their own pleasure. And if you find out if someone did make their own and they're just burning it in their house, they're to be cut off from the people." That's a pretty serious offense, is it not? So God looked upon this incense as something very special. And it is holy. It is set apart. It is not common. And God says, "This is very important that you do this." And he says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense." The psalmist understood the incense that was in the tent of meeting and the incense that was being burned in the temple later. He understood the importance of it. And he says, may my prayers be just as special, just as precious as this incense that is before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. We're going to go now into Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And I love this, how this ties in with how important prayer is in our walk with the Lord. Revelation 5, 6 through 8. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. When the psalmist says, I pray, may my prayers be like incense, this is what's happening in the heavenly realms. He says, I want my prayers to be as precious as these things, because I understand that when they reach heaven, that the angels that surround the throne room are holding bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. You see the picture of the throne room, or basically the throne room on earth, which is the tent of meeting. And then we see what's really happening in the heavenly realm, in heaven. See, the things of the earth are types and shadows of things that are already established in heaven. And his prayers are those, the incense that is in those bowls held by angels in his throne room. You see, the Bible says that if I harbor sin in my heart, that my prayers are not heard by God. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, I want my prayers to be as precious as this incense, that they would be holy and not common, that they would be a pleasant aroma. I don't know if you've ever gone into a soap store or Bath and Body. My wife and daughters love Bath and Body Works. I can't go in there. It stinks. There's too much going on in there. Too many scents, too many smells, too many And so I avoid it like the plague. And when we offer up prayer and we harbor sin in our hearts, I imagine that's the smell that comes out. It smells like Bath and Body Works. I know that sounds weird, but that's how I think. So, but it's not a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But when our hearts are pure, and it doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it does mean that we have a repentant heart. Lord, help me. And then that aroma smells more like a steak on the grill than Bath and Body Works. It is a pleasing thing to him. But remember that when we pray, hearts or prayers that are offered with a righteous heart are actually pleasant to the Lord and held by angels. To me, that is an amazing picture. And I've used the analogy many times, but it still strikes me as absolutely incredible that the prayer of a single person down here on earth, full of flaws, can be lifted up into his throne room and presented to the Lord by an angel. That is an incredible picture. Amen? All right. We're going to go back to verse 4 of Psalm 141. And it says, do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil. And I started doing some digging, and I ended up in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 15 to 18. And this is when God was bringing the Israelites together in the wilderness, and there were two mountains. And God says, I want some of you to go up on this mountain and declare the curses, and I want some of you to go up on this mountain and declare the blessings. So there are curses and there are blessings. And God says, if you are obedient, you will be blessed. But if you are disobedient, there are curses that come along with that. So this is what God is saying. He says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity on one mountain and death and destruction on the other. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, his decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. I love the verse there that says, if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away is what I'm looking at and want to focus on in the next few moments. Because as a believer, I do not quickly run into sin like I used to when I was an unbeliever. It doesn't mean that I don't end up there, but usually it's a drawing away. It's a slow getting off task. It's a slow, this really is not that bad. And God has this path for me. And as I walk along that path and I see something that catches my eye, no matter what that may be, and I'm drawn to that, and I take my focus off of the Lord and I put my focus on that, it takes just one tiny little step to the side to take the next step to that. And you don't just automatically jump straight into it. You're drawn to it. You begin to wander. I don't know if you've ever had your little ones. I remember one time in the mall, we went to see Santa Claus, and oh dear. But we took the girls, and it was packed in the mall. And I told the girls, stay close. Stay close to me. And one of them, not naming any names, one of them was drawn to something else. And we were walking, and all of a sudden her eyes went to something else, and she just kind of went like this. And she was drawn away to that. She didn't just take off running. She was kind of like, oh. Didn't focus on where she was going, didn't focus on what I told her to do, and she found herself in a place that she was scared to death because she looked around. And I saw her begin to wander, and so I tucked in behind some stuff that was in the mall and kept an eye on her to see how far she would go. And she was just kind of... And then she, went over to see whatever it was that she wanted to see. And then she turned back, and she couldn't see us. And this terror came over her face. And being the good dad that I am, I stepped out and let her see me. But she was just kind of drawn. She didn't think in her head, Dad told me not to do this, and I'm going to do it anyways. She was just kind of drawn away. And that's how our hearts can become. We can be drawn away by the things of this world. We can be drawn away by the desires that we still have in this fleshly body. And we don't just, immediately become disobedient to it. It's like, it's not that bad. And then you take one step that way. It's not that bad. And you take another step that way. And pretty soon, you're living in complete disobedience to what God has called us to do. We become those people who rip certain pages out of the Bible because you don't agree with it. Well, you know what? This is a different day. This is a different culture. This is a different time. This is whatever. I don't really think that God meant that, so I'm just going to rip that page out and toss it aside. I'll follow these commands, Lord. I'll follow these decrees, these statutes, but I don't agree with this one. I'm going to live my life however I want in this area, and we become disobedient. But usually we're drawn. The enemy is so good at tempting you with the things that you like. Am I right? See, if I had an eating problem, I would not be tempted by broccoli. I wouldn't. So the enemy is not going to use broccoli to tempt me to eat. He would use pizza. And your temptations are all different, but the enemy knows them. And he will use those things to get you to take that one step. And it says, don't give the enemy a foothold. That's what God is talking about, I believe, in that scripture. Don't give the enemy a foothold. You ever seen the movies, the horror movies or whatever, and there's a knock at the door? And so they go over and they open the door just a little bit. And the bad guy on the other side puts his foot in the door and then breaks it through. That's what we do when we take that little step and are drawn away. Keep that door shut. Don't open it. Don't give the enemy a foothold. See, it begins with a thought. Does it not? It begins right here between your ears. And when you let the enemy come in, and you start to dwell on certain things. Let me just say this. A person who was addicted to pornography did not start out that way. It started with a little bit of, oh, this is going to be fine. Oh, well, this should be fine. Oh, this should be fine. And pretty soon, they're completely enslaved by that thing that they said, well, this will be fine. An alcoholic begins with one drink. And then it begins to take over. It's that one little step. And that's all the enemy needs to bust down the door. So don't go that way. Don't go down that road. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't be aware of when you are beginning to be drawn away, because you don't really realize it at first. We don't realize it. It's not that big a deal. If I'm walking this way and then I take one step this way, it's not that big a deal. But by the time I got to the end of the room, I'd be 25 feet away from the original line that God had placed before me. So don't be drawn away. And it says, we are drawn away through disobedience. We're to be obedient to his ways. And his ways are the best ways. He is a heavenly Father that loves each and every one of us, and he wants the best. Why does he say, don't do these things? It's the same reason I would tell my daughters, don't put a fork in the outlet in the wall. Well, Dad just doesn't want me to have any fun. No, I don't want you to get hurt. Don't do those things, because we are drawn away easily. In verse 5, it says, let a righteous man strike me. I love this next part of this verse. I'm trying to put myself in this scripture, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I have a hard time with this one. It says, let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. When we become drawn away, when we take that little bit of step, the psalmist says, let a righteous man strike me. Because that's being kind to me. You imagine a church of slappers? Yeah, just you took that one step, whack. But that's what the psalmist is saying. Let a righteous man strike me. Because it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. How many of us have ever thought, you know what? I got rebuked today. Thank you, Lord. It was awesome. I love that slap in the face from Sister So-and-so. It was a kindness to me. It's oil on my head. But that's what the psalmist is saying. Yeah. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend. What are wounds from a friend? That is a friend who loves you enough to tell you the truth when you're starting to wander, when you're starting to be drawn away. And they can be trusted. Now, the problem with this is that I have encountered multiple people in the church, not this church, other churches, that consider that as their gifting to point out my faults and haven't taken the plank out of their own eye. Now, there are certain things that we do because we love one another. And if you are going to rebuke someone, don't strike them. Please don't go to, well, Pastor Jim said it's a strike in the face from a righteous man. How about just a nice rebuke done in love? Done with kindness. Done with sincerity. And done because you care about them. See, the people that like to do this, it's because they like to do it and they don't care what other people think, and they do it under the banner of, well, this is how God made me, this is my gift, and if it's not done in love, then it's not God. Amen. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. An enemy says, you're fine. You're fine. You're just fine where in your disobedience. Go ahead and continue that way. I'm still going to be there for you. I'm your friend. No, a true friend says, you know what? You're off a little bit here. Let me help you get back on track. There's something wrong here. Let me help you get back into the ways of the Lord. And it's not easy. It is not easy. Amen. Continuing in verse 5, it says, my head will not refuse it. Proverbs 1:23-31 says, repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when the disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. You see, the word of the Lord, Angela, I'm going to have you guys come up. The word of the Lord, it says, is useful for teaching, instruction, correcting, rebuking, and it's that rebuke that we don't like. When we read in the scriptures that say we ought not to do certain things and we don't agree with it, what do you do? Do you accept the rebuke? Do you repent of where you are and turn back to the Lord? Or do you refuse the rebuke and say, this is my life, I'll live it however I want to, thank you very much? The very first word in that thing is repent. Repentance is such a key because that's the heart issue. Repentance is the first step that we can make in restoring our relationship with Jesus Christ. Repentance is the first step that we can make in showing our love for our Heavenly Father. It's the step that says, you're in charge, not me. It's the step that says, you're the master, I'm the servant. It's the step that says, you're the father, I'm the child. And it's trusting in Him. Trusting in Him that He has our best interests at heart. He's not the mean ogre that I often pictured when I grew up in a Catholic school. This man, evil man, or mean man up in the sky with a lightning bolt in his hand waiting for me to screw up so he could zap me. I had a lot of unlearning to do when I became a believer. I had to realize that that's not my Heavenly Father. He rebukes us because He loves us. He disciplines us because He loves us. And He wants the very best for us, our marriages, our families, our relationships, every aspect of our lives. He wants the very best. And we receive that. Jesus says, when I came that you would have life and more abundantly. That's His heart. But that comes through being obedient to Him and His ways. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and command them to obey everything I've commanded you. He didn't say, and you know what? Make a request that they obey me. Make a suggestion that it might be okay for them to be obedient to my ways. No, He said, command them to be obedient to everything that I've passed on to you. And that's where we have that abundant life, is through obedience in God's word. And the number one thing is love God. Love God and love your neighbor. If you don't have that down, don't try to do any of the other stuff, because it ain't going to happen. Our relationship with Him is priority number one. Because if you try to do all these other things without His help, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get irritated. You're going to get angry. And then you're going to quit. Because He sent His Spirit to be an advocate for us, to be a counselor, so that we have the Spirit of the Lord living in us to help us. Because I don't know about you, I need that help. I've seen what Jim can do on his own. It ain't pretty. But with Him and His help and His word, I can live that life, that abundant life that Jesus promised. Amen. Amen. Please stand. In Pastor Henry's message, he ended with resolutions, and how many of us make resolutions every year? things that we're going to do, things that we're not going to do. And then he brought up a revolution. You see, resolutions are inward focused. They're self-centered. It's about me. It's about what I'm going to do. And a revolution is about a cause that is bigger and greater than just us. We have a part in it, but it's for that cause. My prayer for New Hope this year is that we would all be focused on a revolution. Focused on the cause. Focused on what it is that God has for each and every one of you. Because I guarantee it's not just to sit in a chair and listen to me talk. And the only way you're going to find out what your part of that revolution is if you go to the leader of the cause. And that is God Himself. You need to be connected to Him like you've never been connected before. You need to be in prayer like you've never been in prayer before. And that's where it starts. The revolution. Because you don't know what it is that He has for you unless you spend time with Him. He'll let you know. And I've had a lot of people say, you know, Jim, I just don't hear God's voice. How do you hear His voice? How do you know when it's Him? How do you know it's not you? Well, first of all, how many of you think during the day? In your head, not out loud, but I actually think out loud sometimes. But no, you have thoughts in your head. Whose voice is that? It's yours, is it not? When you think of a thought, you hear it in your voice. And when God speaks to me, I hear it in my voice too. It's not a different
Jim. It's God.
No, it comes across as just a regular thought. And then therein lies the process of, is it God or is it me? And when we go to Him and make it a habit of going to Him, we learn more and more how to decipher between my voice and His voice. But it takes practice. I have those people come to me and say, I don't know, I can't hear from God. Well, you know what? You're saying I don't hear from God, so you will not hear from God. It's like Jesus. He couldn't heal anybody in Capernaum. Why? Because they didn't believe. If you don't believe that God can speak to you, He will not speak to you. You're shutting the door. Get into the quiet place and say, God, I want to hear Your voice. I want to know Your voice. I want to be able to decipher between my voice and Your voice. And then when I do hear Your voice, let me be obedient to it. God will do that. It just takes time. Unfortunately, most of our prayer life is a one-sided phone call. Hey, God, this is Jim. I pray for the people at New Hope. I pray for a new car. I pray that You would be with my sister and help her not to be so mean to me. Click. And God's on the other line going, oh, whoa, 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 wait, wait, wait. It's a one-sided phone call. And I don't know about you. If you've ever met somebody and all they do is talk, won't shut up and listen, I don't want to be around that person. But are we doing the same thing to God? Our prayer life consists of a one-way phone call. I want, I want, I want, I want. What kind of a marriage would I have if I did that to Belinda? The only time I talked to her is when I told her what I want. Make me a sandwich, woman. It would not be a very good relationship. I would be sore a lot. No, it's a two-way street. It's communication. God says, I want to walk with you. I want to be a part of your life. I want a relationship. And that's where it all starts. But seek Him in 2018. Get into that quiet place. Don't do it on the freeway. Get into a quiet place where there's no distractions around. and just say, God, I want to hear from you. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to start thinking about all the things of the day, all this stuff is going to cram into your head, and then you're going to forget that you're actually trying to listen to God. And then you're going to come, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, speak to me. And then your mind begins to wander. But you need to train yourself to listen. He does want to speak to you. He'll give you those thoughts. He'll give you those things in your heart. And he will test you. He will test you. One of the stories that I'm going to share on why I'm a believer is this incredible encounter I had. And it was at a hospital. I was working. And God just kept impressing on me to go speak to a young man. And I went by the place, and he was in the waiting room, and he was tatted, sleeves, everything. He had the neck tat, face tat, this tat, that tat. And I walked by with one load of implants, and I noticed him in there and went back, and he was still in there. He was crying and everything. He's the only one in there. And God just said, go speak to him. And I'm like, what am I going to say? Then I went back and got my next load and went by the window, and he's still in there. And I just felt God say, go speak to him. And I was like, what am I got to deliver these things. I'm busy. I'm working right now. And then I went back into the car, got another load, and came back at, and he was still there. And God said, go speak to him. And it's like, leave me alone. I knew it wasn't me, because that's not me. And finally, I went back out to the car. He was in there as I left. Went back out to the car. And God was just, he was not going to let me go. He said, go speak to him. And I went, fine. Fine. And then I said, so what am I supposed to say? And I got nothing. No, Lord, what, you want me to speak to him? Then tell me what I'm supposed to say. Nothing. God all of a sudden got quiet. And I said, fine, I'll go speak to him. This, I don't know what's going to happen, but this is on you, Lord. So I closed up my rig, went back in, and he was gone. And I went, why would you tell me to go speak to him? And I'm irritated. Why did you tell me over and over to go speak to him? And then when I finally do, he's gone. And I just felt, heard God's voice in my head that sounded like Jim. And he said, I didn't want you to go speak to him. I just wanted to see if you'd listen. And I was mad then. And I went, oh. And I got a lesson in how to hear his voice. You see, if you have a thought pop into your head and it goes against your personality, goes against what you would normally do, not evil people, I'm talking about doing something for the Lord, chances are it ain't your voice. It's him. You ever got those thoughts where someone pops into your head and you just feel like you're supposed to call them or text them? And then you do, and you find out they're going through some incredible things. I had one girl that I've known since she was kindergartner, 5. And she got into this, she was in a marriage, in a relationship, and I didn't get to see her a whole lot. And evidently it was abusive, and things were not going well, and he basically abused her and this and that. And I was just praying in the morning, and she popped into my head. And I just sent her a text. Hey, just praying, and your name popped up in my head, just letting you know that I'm praying for you. That morning, at the same time, I found out later, her husband slammed his ring down on the counter and says, I'm done with you. And then she got that text after he left the house. And she was just saying, God, thought you were in this. I thought you were in this marriage, and why don't you hear me? And then she gets a text from dumb old Jim. Hey, just praying for you. Don't know what's going on. That's God. So I'm encourage you. Get closer than you've ever been. Shut your mouth for a while and listen to what God has for you. Because what you're thinking God has for you may not be what God has for you. See, most people go, I'm called to speak in front of thousands of people all across the nation. And maybe he just wants you to deliver a meal to the elderly woman next to you. Well, I can't do that because then I might miss the call to come and speak before thousands of people at a convention. How about you just deliver the meal? And when we do those things, it blesses the other person, but it blesses you too, because you know that you're doing what God has called you to do. And there's no greater feeling than to know that you are walking in what he has for you. It's the best. All the things that the world has to offer compare this much to walking in obedience with God. All the things that we chase after before we were believers, all the things that the world promises will bring us happiness and bring us joy, they're all fleeting. But walking in his presence is renewed over and over, and it doesn't get old. In fact, what it does is it pushes you back to him because you want more of him. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just pray that we would take your word and that we would apply it to our lives. But first and foremost, I pray that we would seek you like we've never sought you before. Because you said in your word, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the paths that I want you to take. I know the direction I want you to go. Walk in them. Well, if you don't go to him, if we don't go to you, Lord, we don't know what that is. So I pray, Lord, that we would press in, that we would abide in you in 2018 like we never have before. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week.